Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. All right. So we're in Ephesians chapter 4. Look down at verse number 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Now look at verse number 3. This is what we're going to be preaching about today. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And you ask yourself, why? So what is that verse saying? It says that we are to try hard to keep the unity of the Spirit, right? The unity of the Spirit with a capital S. It is our job as Christians to try as much as possible to keep unity, right? In truth, in long-suffering, and all these things we just read. Now look at verse number 4. It says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, right? Look at verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So there is a purpose to have unity in the Spirit, unity in truth. And what I'm preaching about is the opposite of this morning, and that is the non-denominational churches. Well, I'm sure we've all heard that. We've all knocked on somebody's door that says, you know, I'm non-denominational. In fact, on Wednesday, I was at somebody's door. I was talking with somebody, and you know, he's like, oh, you're a pastor. I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, where was your church? Yeah, that's great. I really love that. That's awesome. I'm glad to have met you. You know, I said, oh, Shield of Faith Baptist Church. Oh, well, I'm just a Bible-believing Christian. I'm just non-denominational, right? Really, what is that guy trying to say? Hey, I'm non-judgmental. I'm gender neutral. I'm spiritually neutral, whatever the case is, right? These people have this smug, arrogant attitude in many cases. And let me just say this. Let me just start by a quick disclaimer regarding this sermon here. We are independent. We are not part of a denomination. There is nobody that's going to tell us how to run the services, how to do this, how to do that. You know, and if you really think about it, if you could just think in your mind around this area, in this community here, how many non-denominational churches there are, look at the size of their buildings, right? That right there should tell you that they're getting funding from somebody. They're getting funding from somewhere. So the question I have for you is, are they being honest? Are they really and truly non-denominational? Or is there something else going on? You know, and look, I'm not for denominations. I don't think the Bible teaches that, but I am for keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what I'm for. That's what we should all be for. But I'll tell you this, I do have more respect for somebody who is in a denomination, right, for these denominations versus the non-denominational crowd, because at least they'll tell you what they believe, right? At least they'll admit what they believe. They're not afraid of it. And that's at least something. That's at least a start. That's at least, that warrants some sort of respect. Whereas these non-denominational people, all they can do is just try to hide and beat around the bush and, oh, we're for everyone. We're just Bible-believing Christians. And it's not true. It's deceptive. It's dishonest. It's disloyal. And I hate it with a passion. So from their own websites here, I took this from Christianity.com. Here's a definition of non-denominational. It says, non-denominational churches of Christianity are congregations who are not self-affiliated with a traditional denomination and often separate themselves from the strict doctrine and customs of other Christian fellowships. Simply put, it means not denominational and somehow different from the historic well-known denominations of Christianity. So I'll just translate for you what that really means for you. That is, they are against fundamentalism. That's really what it boils down to. If you don't believe me, come out soul winning with us. We'll go talk to some non-denom pastors. And what you're gonna find is you're gonna find that they are against the foundations. They're against fundamentalism. They're against standing hardcore for the truth, right? That's why they don't want to be labeled. That's why they don't want a name. That's why they don't want to be associated with a denomination. Even though at the grassroots, at the very basic foundation of their own beliefs, of their own calling, of their own doctrinal statements, if you really look into it, they are all from some sort of denomination. And the title of my sermon this morning is The Sedation of the Non-Denomination. The Sedation of the Non-Denomination. Because even they of their own selves are a denomination. They are a sect. They are a type. They are a kind of so-called Christianity. Now, the word sedation, this is what it means. Sedation is either a state of being relaxed or sleepy because of a drug, or the act of drugging someone with a sedative. Sedatives are drugs that people take to relax or fall asleep, and sedation has two related meanings. For example, a nurse may put a patient under sedation if they can't sleep. And there's a lot of different types of people that go to these non-denominational churches. And one type that I keep running into are people that cannot sleep spiritually. These are people that cannot rest spiritually. And what they do is they inherently know that if they go to a non-denominational church, that that church will provide them with a sedative to keep them asleep, to put them to sleep for good. And obviously, yes, there are people that are saved in non-denominational churches. I've been to non-denominational churches. My family has attended non-denominational churches. Some of you in the future will go attend non-denominational churches, possibly, hopefully not, but it's a thing, you know. And I, you know what the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 13? It says, "Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread." That doesn't just have a physical application. That's also got a spiritual application if you think about it. I mean, think about this. There are people that just love sleep. They don't want to know any kind of truth whatsoever, right? They just want to keep their heads buried in the sand. And what better place to go than a place that won't stand against anything, that will tell you what you want to hear week after week, year after year, decade after decade. And then guess what? We go knock on the doors and try to give them a little bit of truth, and they get mad. They get angry. You know, you're divisive. You're this, you're that. You know, whatever. It is what it is. Now, keep your place here in Ephesians chapter 4. Go to Acts chapter 5. Go to Acts chapter 5. So this sermon's kind of different. It has a rather lengthy introduction, and then I've got three quick points for you regarding the sedation of the non-denomination. You can see it is our goal to hopefully understand these things better, so that when we do encounter these people, we can realize, okay, you know, this is somebody who's asleep. I may need X, Y, and Z. I may need extra verses. I may need to explain to them, hey, you know, you're really not non-denominational. You know, you really are part of a denomination, and, you know, it can help you better gauge what they believe. And so we'll get into that. Now, just listen to these facts here. There's this institute called the Hartford Institute of Religious Research. And they published a study in 2010, and this is the most recent one I could find. I guess they're set to revisit these numbers here in 2020, but this is what it says. It says, "Very little is known about non-denominational congregations in the United States. Yet, as of 2010, 4% of Americans worshipped in a non-denominational church." Now, just by driving around town, you can tell that that has increased drastically. Number two, it says, "If the nation's independent and non-denominational churches were combined into a single group, they would represent the third largest cluster of congregations in the country, following the Roman Catholic Church and the Southern Baptist Convention. Our national research found over 35,000 independent or non-denominational churches representing more than 12,200,000 adherents. These churches are present in every state and in 2,663 out of the total 3,000 counties in the United States, which makes up 88% of the total." And that was in 2010. It goes on to say this: "They are the most dominant religious reality in 46 counties around the country. This collection of non-affiliated churches, seen as a single entity, is among the top five religious groups in 48 of the 50 states and the District of Columbia." So keep in mind, that was from 2010. It has got to be far, far worse today in 2019. I mean, just look around. I mean, if nothing else, even the denominations today, right? What are they striving for? They're striving to look non-denominational, and we're going to get into that here momentarily. If you think about Paul Chappell's guys, a lot of the guys that he's sending out to start churches, what are they doing? They're trying to copy this non-denominational model. So listen to this. So we just explained what a non-denominational church is. Listen to this. This is what a denomination is. It's a religious group, usually including many local hierarchies and local churches, often larger than a sect. And then it says, for example, the Lutheran denomination. Well, right next to us over here, this church building is an Episcopalian, right? They are a denomination. So basically, a denomination has a hierarchy, right? They have the pastor, but they also may, like in the Nazarene denomination, they may have a superintendent who governs like a certain amount of churches in a state, right? And then they have somebody higher than that. And they claim to hold to the Bible as truth, but they also have their own manual, per se, or their own governing paperwork, basically, that all the little churches in that denomination have to follow, right? They have their own distinctives. And I've preached about this before, and we'll cover it again later on, you know, throughout the years, that is vastly different than what the Bible says. If you think about the Catholic Church, right, they have a pope, they have cardinals, they have bishops, right? And they're all basically, you know, you go to the local Catholic Church, that guy, he's not independent, right? He's taking orders from somebody higher. You go to a Nazarene church, that Nazarene pastor is taking orders from somebody else. And so the same thing with the Southern Baptist. You know, the Southern Baptist, they finance all the little Southern Baptist churches. They finance the pastors. And there's a line drawn in the sand that they cannot cross. You can't walk into a Southern Baptist church and be like, hey, let's be King James only, fundamental, soul winning and all that stuff. They're going to tell you to go pack sand. You can't walk into an Episcopalian church and try that. They're going to tell you to pack sand. Why is that? Because they have their own set of governing rules. They have their own set of ideology. They have their own thing that makes them different. And the lowest common denominator of all of them is probably salvation. They're almost all wrong on salvation. And that's not to say that there aren't saved people in these churches, because there are. But I will tell you one thing, they do not strive, they do not endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So what is a sect? What does that mean? The Bible doesn't use the word denomination, it uses the word sect or section, right? Different types, kinds. You're there in Acts chapter 5, look down at verse number 17. It says, then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Now go over to Acts chapter 15. So if you remember the Sadducees, what was the distinctive regarding the Sadducees? Remember, they denied the resurrection, right? They didn't believe in a bodily resurrection that would take place in the future. They sure as heck didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible describes the Sadducees, who were often paired with the Pharisees, as a sect, right? We would say maybe that's a denomination, maybe that's a type, maybe that is a kind. And so in Acts chapter 5, verse 17, we can get a little bit of insight there. Now look at Acts 15, look at verse number 5. It says, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed. Okay, so now we're talking about the Pharisees, and amongst the sect of the Pharisees, there is a section or a sect of those people that actually believe, that are actually saved. And in this instance, they're all messed up. It says, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So right there, just by those two verses, you can see three sects, right? There's the sect of the Sadducees, right? They denied the resurrection. There's the sect of the Pharisees, which, you know, didn't believe. They had their religion, they had their Jewish customs and procedures and things that they put above the Word of God. But then you also have the sect that we read about here, of them which actually believed, those that are actually saved. Now turn to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter number 24. Acts chapter 24, look down at verse number 5. Acts 24, 5, it says, for if we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition amongst all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. So describing the Apostle Paul here, it says that he was of the sect of the Nazarenes. Obviously, this is different than the sect of the Nazarenes we deal with today. But nonetheless, it's just talking about a different type. See, names are important. Names are what we use to describe certain things, right? And the Bible's just saying, hey, these folks are the sect of the Sadducees. These folks were the sect of the Pharisees. These folks were the sect of the Nazarenes. Now go a couple chapters over to Acts chapter 26. We've got two more. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, look down at verse number 5. It says, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. After the straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Go to Acts chapter 28, last one, Acts chapter 28. So even amongst Paul's religion, the Pharisees, right? There were those that believed. Obviously, we can see there was those that did not believe. But then there's a straight sect. So the people that are diehards, that are very, very focused, very, very zealous, obviously not according to knowledge regarding, you know, in this verse here. But nonetheless, there was a straight sect. So we use these words to categorize people, to categorize things. Somebody says, I'm non-denominational. Well, what do you mean by that? Right, we had some people visit our church a few months ago. You know, we're trying to figure out, like, hey, what kind of Christian are you? You're not being rude or anything like that. And they're like, well, we don't subscribe to anything. We don't subscribe to any denomination or any kind of name or anything like that. You know, try that with your tools, right? What would you do if your boss said, hey, no longer will you call a saw, a hammer, a 5/16, a 5/16, you know, stuff like that. You'd go insane. You said, go bring me that tool. Well, which one? You know, names are important, you know? I mean, our kids are taught that from a young age, right? I don't subscribe to watching TV anymore, but when our kids were really young, they used to watch this little cartoon where the tools talked with each other and stuff, and I'm a hammer, and I'm a saw, and I'm a quarter-inch nut driver and all this junk, you know? And it's like, I'm a toolbox, you know? Why do we teach our kids to call these things by name, but then we grow up and say, hey, well, it's wrong to identify as this or that or the other thing. Anyways, Acts chapter 28, verse 22, it says, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against, and that is us today. Our sect is spoken against everywhere in this country and even all throughout the world today. So the word sect in the Bible just means, they use that to describe a group of people. I would say maybe a denomination, maybe a section of people, and therefore that's, you got all these different verses here just explaining that. Like I said, you're not going to find the word denomination in the Bible. So you can go ahead and lose your place there in Acts. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 for now. And I'm going to read you some facts about denominations in this country, denominations. So again, here's another definition. A denomination is a religious, or in a religious context, the word denomination is often referred to as recognized autonomous branch of a Christian church. One denomination will include many local churches that are usually spread over a broad geographical region. So just real quick here. Here's some more facts, and I'm just going to read these for you. It says, according to the Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary, there exists roughly 43,000 Christian denominations worldwide in 2012. That's up from 500 in 1800 and 39,000 in 2008. And this number is expected to grow to 55,000 by the year 2025. So I'm reading this and I'm trying to think, like, well, which one is it? Is the non-denoms growing, or is it the denominations growing? And they're both growing, right? What they do is they actually count the non-denominationals as a denomination. So that's what's going on there. Now, here's a list that they provided of denominations and their numbers throughout the world. They list the Roman Catholic Church as 1,187,000. Okay, and then they go on to another category called Protestantism, and they label us as Protestants. We are not Protestants, we're Baptists. That's a whole nother sermon. You know, hopefully soon we get our DVDs being Baptist. So listen to this. It says, in Protestantism throughout the world, there are 792 million adherents, okay? And then the first denomination or sect that they list here is Pentecostalism/Charismatic. And they claim there are 612 million throughout the world. And underneath that, there are four subcategories, right? Four mini denominations. One is called the Assemblies of God. You know, I'm sure everybody in here has heard about them. They're basically Pentecostals, Assemblies of God. There are 60 million adherents of those. Then you have New Apostolic Churches, which are 11,200,000. And this is worldwide, right? Four square churches, 8 million. Anybody ever seen a four square church? It's just Pentecostalism. That's all it is, right? I've seen four square churches, you know, with the typical community name, you know, City Point, and then underneath Foursquare Church. You know, it's just a mentality, right? These people just, they've gotten such a bad rap over the years that they want to avoid a label. It's kind of like the Mormons, right? When we talk to Mormons here in Idaho especially, they're saying, well, we don't really like to be called Mormons anymore. Why is that? Because their man, right, their higher power on earth has told them that that's how they should act. You see, they get their orders from man. They don't get it from the Word of God. And then the next one is Church of God in Christ with 6,500,000 adherences. And then they list Baptist. Here's the next group, or the next denomination that they speak of. They say Baptist. 100 million worldwide. Southern Baptist Convention makes up 16 million of that. And then they go on to talk about Lutherans. There's 87 million Lutherans in the world. Methodists, 75 million. United Methodists have 12, African Methodist Episcopal Church, 3 million. And then it goes on to Reformed churches. Reformed churches, there are 75 million throughout the world. Presbyterian is the first one under Reformed, and they say there's 3 million Presbyterian churches in the United States. United Church of Christ, there's 1 million. And then it goes on to the next category, which is a denomination, and that is non-denominational evangelicalism. See, even though these people don't want to be labeled, they don't want to be, you know, brought under any kind of a banner, they can't help it because people want to know who you are, what you believe, what sect you are of, what group you are of. And they say, okay, they say this. So non-denominational evangelicalism, there's 40 million churches basically worldwide. And then they say the first sect of that is Calvary Chapel with 25 million. And then underneath that was the Vineyard at 15 million. And I thought that was interesting because I never heard of the Vineyard till I moved to Idaho. We run into a lot of people from the Vineyard. And then what do they tell you? We're non-denominational. We'll say, okay, I thought they were non-denominational, but when I clicked on this link here, it took me to their beliefs. They're Pentecostals is what they are. That's why they're real big onto the drug rehab programs, right? Because it proves that you've turned over a new leaf. You've turned from your sins and that sort of stuff. And if you talk to people from the Vineyard, they're very prideful. They're very arrogant. They're very boastful. Why is that? Because they've done something, right? They have this human achievement attitude that says, well, look at me. Of course I'm going to go to heaven because look what I turned from. Look at the wicked life that I lived and look at all the stuff that I ditched or left behind. So that's the Vineyard for you. And we'll do a whole deal on them in the future. And then the next two groups is Restorationism and Anabaptism. And it lists underneath those. Mennonites, Amish, all of them are in the millions, except the Amish is 250,000 worldwide is what it says. I'm not going to read the rest for you. It just talks about the Orthodox, how many Orthodox churches there are. Non-Trinitarianism, it talks about the Mormons being at 14,700,000. Jehovah's Witnesses are at 7,700,000 worldwide. And then I brought one of Idaho's locals into this, and that is the Church or the Denomination of the Nazarenes, which says the Church of the Nazarene supports 52 undergraduate and graduate educational institutions in 35 countries on 6 continents around the world with an enrollment of 51,550 students in 2016. So they're a lot smaller, right? We just see them here because we're in Idaho and they have the college here and they have a lot of churches everywhere. So it goes on to say there are currently 30,712 churches of the Nazarene denomination. It says that 23,062 are considered officially organized. So I'm not sure quite what that meant. I tried to look it up. Basically, a lot of them probably are kind of on the cusp, you know, kind of like trying to really maintain that non-denom type status. And it talks about they have, you know, over 1,000 ordained deacons and 10,000 licensed ministers, which I think 4 or 5% being female. So that is a quick list of denominations. Turn to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. So still doing the introduction here. Haven't quite got to the sermon yet, but what are we talking about? We're talking about the importance of the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, right? Bible-believing Christians, true Bible-believing Christians have a mandate, they have a commandment, they should have a goal to be unified in the truth. Why? Because there's one God, there's one faith, there's one baptism, right? There's nothing wrong with standing up for the truth. That's what Paul was teaching the Ephesians here, and that is the expectation that God has of us as a church to be unified in our beliefs. Right. And if people have to look at us and say, well, you're a denomination, the new IFB is a denomination. Well, I'd rather be that than be some loser that's too afraid to admit what he or she believes or to be wrong on salvation. So the heck with them. You know, if they want to label us, you go ahead and label us. I don't really care. I'm going to keep knocking doors. We're going to keep moving forward. We're going to keep marching on with our vision, regardless of what they say. Amen. So one thing that I just want to make clear here, non-denominationalists are really just denominationalists in disguise. Who's ever heard of Francis Chan? Right, he's a big guy. You type in his name into Google, you know, big preacher guy. You know, he left one of his mega churches, started another church. You can trace his roots back to Southern Baptist, I believe. You know, he's real big and, I don't like to affiliate with this group or that group, you know, but he's always speaking at the Southern Baptist Convention. You know, he is a Calvinist and he's also a loser. You know, I watched him in an interview and he said that if two guys came into his church holding hands, he's like, that's not the first thing that I would address. You know, I want to know how they're doing. How's their soul? That's not how it's going to happen here. If two guys come in here holding hands, they're going to get ejected right out the front door. But that's a whole nother sermon. And, you know, we got to move on here. Who's ever heard of John MacArthur? He's the pastor of Grace Community Church. That's Southern Baptist. He's a Southern Baptist guy. Right. But you see how they promote their names. Right. Well, they give this non-denominational feel. Right. Grace Community Church. But he's a Southern Baptist. He's a Calvinist. you know, as we were going through the circuit of churches as a family, you know, when I was a lot younger, we went to this church one time in Louisiana. It's called White Dove Fellowship, White Dove Fellowship, non-denominational church. Well, they're Assemblies of God. You know, I never forget there. We had some friends. They invited us. They're like, oh, this church is great. There's fellowship. There's this. There's that. They speak the truth and all this junk. I'm like, all right, well, let's go check it out. We go there. You know, my wife and I were looking at our Bibles while the guy was speaking. And I don't know if he was addressing this to us or other people as well, because this is a pretty big audience. But he says, hey, you people right now that are looking down, you need to look at me. You didn't come here to read your Bible. You came here to hear me, and I have the power of the Word of God in my life. And that was obviously the last time we ever went there. But that's the mentality that some of these people have. You know, and that's a non-denominational church, you know, and so we did some digging up. Obviously, they're Assemblies of God, they're Pentecostal, and so they do believe that they are, you know, above God's word, that they carry current revelation and all that sort of things. Next up on the list, after we visited there, we went to this other church called Crossroads. You know, they had advertisements on the radio and all this, and like, okay, this sounds like it might be good. We go there, you know, non-denominational, pastor wears a Hawaiian shirt, flip-flops, literally flip-flops, and, you know, just super love everybody and all this stuff. Come to find out, they're Presbyterian, right? And they still get money and funding from Presbyterian, but yet they'll make commercials talking about how, you know, we actually have our ushers bring people donuts and coffee while they're sitting down hearing that we're preached and stuff. You know, I don't mind if you want to drink your coffee or eat your donuts here, but you know, we're not going to waste the time, you know, passing them out during the preaching. I mean, get it before, you know, or if you're absolutely hungry, get up and just go back there and grab it. I mean, you know, but that was their commercial. That was the way that they attracted people into their church, but they were Presbyterian. They were Calvinist hardcore. They're liars. We went to another church called Calvary. You know, we went there for several years after we'd moved back to Washington several years ago. And, you know, their big claim to fame, we're non-denominational, right? We stand for the truth. We're Bible-believing Christians. Well, they're spinoffs from Calvary Chapel, right? They have the same doctrines. Now, they didn't get funding from them, but they did get gifts from them, okay? They did get support from them every once in a while. So they're all a bunch of liars. Names are important. We should never be afraid of our name, right? I love our invitations and churches like ours. Why? Because just right off the bat, it's just a huge line in the sand, right? When we hand that to people, what is it? King James only, fundamental, soul winning. Look, we mean business, and people get that right off the bat. We're not trying to hide anything. We tell people right off the bat what we are, what we're about, what we serve, how we do our services and all this stuff. You know, we want people to know that. Why? Because it cuts down on wasting time, right? We don't want a bunch of people. I mean, we want visitors, obviously, but we don't want a bunch of people coming in here and trying to, you know, sit through service after service trying to figure out what we believe. I'd rather just cut them off if they're not interested right off the gate, right out of the bat. You know, it's just better. It's a better use of the time that God has given us as believers. Let's just be forthwith just telling people what we believe right off the bat. You go down Eagle Road, you'll see Tree City Church, right? I see people with bumper stickers all over town. Tree City Church, Tree City Church. And then underneath in small letters, Church of the Nazarene. It's like, okay, well, what's going on there? Well, what's going on there is they're just trying to take on this non-denom, this non-offensive coexist type atmosphere or attitude. There's another one, Valley Shepherd. You know, I talked to somebody the other day. What church you go to? Valley Shepherd. What kind of church is that? It's not denominational. And I'm like, no, it's not. I drive by it every day. It's a Nazarene church. It's not non-denominational. You know, it's like, look, just quit being a hypocrite and just admit what you are. I like the people that we talk to that say, hey, I go to the Nazarene church and I'm part of that denomination. I'm thank you for being honest. You know, it's like, I can work with that. You know, there's hope for that, you know. But these people that just don't want to admit what they believe and just cause trouble just makes it difficult, you know, while we're out soul winning. And it's dishonest. It's not right. So the point being is that most of these so-called churches that claim to be non-denominational, you can trace their roots back to a denomination. And they might be independent, but nonetheless, they still get support from their host, from their denomination. So you're there in Genesis chapter 3. Real quickly, just look at verse number 20. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20 says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve." Now, why did he do that? Why did he call his wife's name Eve? You see, a non-denom would look at this and say, well, that's kind of offensive. You know, I'm just a human, you know. Well, it says in the verse, look, because she was the mother of all living. So you don't even have to get through the first three books of the Bible before you can understand the purpose of a name. It's okay to have a name. It's okay to be called something. I mean, how difficult would it be to fellowship with each other if we all just decided, you know what, we're just not going to go by names anymore. Don't call me by name. I mean, it'd be like, hey, you, come here. Well, which one of you is it? It's ridiculous. You know, this is stupidity at its highest level. I mean, three chapters in the Bible, and these people can't even understand the purpose of a name. It's ridiculous. The purpose of a name is to describe something. The non-denominationals, they don't like to associate themselves with anything because they are weak. And it's no wonder. It's no wonder at all why they do, by and large, subscribe to the teaching that our world's trying to push on us of gender neutrality, right? They accept queers. They accept that lifestyle in their churches. Why? Because their spiritual food, or lack thereof, is nothing but a bunch of GMO garbage. It's nothing but a bunch of trash. It's just brainwash. They're being told that names are bad, that identifying yourself as something is bad. So why wouldn't you accept that doctrine from the world regarding gender neutrality? It's the same exact thing. They're spiritually neutral. And in many cases, like I've already said, they are spiritually dead. They are spiritually void. It's kind of like the tool analogy that I use. How difficult would it be for contractors to build something if their bosses said, we are no longer going to name tools? It doesn't make any sense. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 4 and we'll start moving on here. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, the one thing that the non-denominationalists will try to say is that they are Bible-believing Christians. We're Bible-believing Christians. And look, we've gone through this several times. We understand they are not. I've got three quick points for you this morning regarding non-denominationalists and why they are sedated, right? And I've kind of alluded to it already. You understand, a lot of them that are there, they want to be asleep. There are people in this planet that don't want to wake up, that don't want the truth. And like I said, those types of people, they flock to these non-denominational churches. Why? So they can get their drugs. They can get the drug of feel good, their drug of false reality, their drug that just keeps them slumbering and keeps them asleep. And you know what? It's our job to keep that bond, right? To keep that spirit of unity and peace, and to say, no, that's wrong. That's not right. That is not okay. That is not biblical. You are not a Bible-believing Christian if that is your mentality. That is wrong. So you're there in Ephesians chapter 4. Point number one is non-denominationalists are sedated because they don't try to keep the unity of the Spirit. Point number one, non-denominationalists are sedated because they don't try to keep the unity of the Spirit. On the other hand, as what we've already read, if you are a Bible-believing Christian, you're going to try hard to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. If you don't believe me, look down again at verse number one. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now verse number three, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The word endeavoring means to try hard. It means effort. It means trying, attempting to achieve something. So we need to not just gloss over this and not understand what that means. We need to have a goal. We need to understand that we need to try to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's why we go soul winning, right? That's why we give people documentaries. That's why we give people YouTube cards and links and information and doctrine. Why? So that we can promote and so that we can keep the unity that we read about in the Bible, which comes from the Spirit, the capital S, of God. It is important. We need to keep doing that. We need to endeavor in that area, not just amongst ourselves, although that is very important, and that is what we obviously strive to do. But you know what? We need to do that in the community as well. We need to wake people up. We need to take their drugs when they're not looking. We need to take that sedative away from them. We need to leave them with seeds, hoping and praying that they will wake up and get right. Why? Because we need help. We need help out there. It is a battle. It is hard. And you know what Jesus said? He said that these fields are white unto harvest. We just need more laborers. So again, Bible-believing Christians are going to try hard to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, not just in the local congregation. That is important, but rather also out in the community, right? We want to fill the Treasure Valley. We want to fill this state with our doctrine. That is the goal. We don't hide that. We don't make any bones about that. We're, you know, people, you're trying to take over the world, you're trying to brainwash people. Yes, I am trying to brainwash people. I'm trying to do it with the Word of God. This is the best soap bar that you could ever get in your entire life. And we need to scrub some people's brains because that drug does. What the sedatives do is they leave residue in your body throughout the week. You know, even when you're not taking that stuff, it's still in your system, right? So when these people leave these non-denominational churches throughout the week, that doctrine, that drug is still in them, and it affects every area of their life. Look down at verse number 4, because Paul tells us why. Why? And again, we already read this, but we're going to read it again. Why? Verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Why do we strive? Why do we fight for the truth? Because of these verses right here. Because there's one body of Christ. There's not many bodies of Christ. Those numbers that I read for you earlier, that was for a purpose. That was for a reason, to show you that the reason why those things exist is because they are not striving to keep unity. That has become a bad word. That has become a disloyal thing to them. Look at verse number 5. It says, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Look, if there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, why do we have a bazillion different denominations?
Right?
We have one book that's been preserved for us here, you know, the King James Bible in the English language. What's the point? Why do we have so many denominations? Why? Because of deception. That's the whole reason, deception, because these people are spiritual drug dealers and they want to sell their sedative to people and make merchandise out of people in the community. You know, that's the whole point. Verse number 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. They don't like this verse. They really don't. Oh yeah, I believe in one God. I believe this. Do you believe is above all? Well, you know, to each his own. To each his own. You know, that's something that's popular amongst the non-denoms, the non-denom millennials, you know, whatever. And I'm not against millennials. Like, millennials do the most work in our types of churches, you know. It's just a fact, you know. But nonetheless, if I can insult these people and get them to wake up, maybe give them a little injury, I'll do it. You know what? Because the next time they walk through their churches, they're going to remember that pain that I caused them. They're going to remember that seed that I gave to them, right? Sometimes people need to be spiritually slapped and woke up, you know? I mean, think about it. You know, somebody goes and robs somebody and they get their butt whipped. They're going to remember that the next time they go out and try to rob somebody. It's just the way it goes. All right, so let's move on here. Point number 2. Non-denominationalists are sedated because they don't freely give. And I'm not talking about money. Non-denominationalists are sedated because they do not freely give. Now, on the other hand, Bible-believing Christians freely give as they have freely received, right? We understand, because we are Bible-believing Christians, we understand that salvation is a free gift. We understand that Jesus Christ paid that price, and so therefore we need to give that freely, right? We don't charge to give people the gospel. We don't charge people for anything in church, for that matter. But nonetheless, the non-denominationalists, they are not like that. They're sedated because they don't freely give. Look down at verse number 7. It says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So you're saved? Well, you have a gift, right? You have a measure that came from Christ. Look at verse number 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, or ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. You see, we've been given gifts. Everybody in here, you may not know it. You may not even realize it, but you have a gift. Right? And you need to understand that that is a free gift, that that came from God. Yes, salvation is a free gift, I understand that. But we also have other gifts. We all have other talents, other ways that we can serve. And we need to provide that for free. I've been to so many churches where people have gifts. And guess what? They charge the church for those gifts. There's people that have the gift of working with children. Right? And what do? They charge the church. They charge the church basically for those services. I know people that it is their income. They go from one church to another church to another church, and they collect paychecks. They don't believe in any of those doctrines. In most cases, those people aren't even saved, right? But they've been given a gift by God, and they don't freely give, and that is a sedative that has put them to sleep. They are not awake to the fact that that is wrong, that is not okay, that is not right. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, when he sent the disciples out on their mission. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Look, we've all been given salvation freely. We understand that, and that's why we go out to the community to do that. That's why we need to be motivated to do that. But nonetheless, if you have a gift, whatever it is, well, you need to keep that in mind to provide that willingly and freely. Why is that? Because when you serve, right? That opens up your mind to possibilities to help others. That's a good thing. That's how we grow. That's how we move forward. That's not how these people move forward. That's not what they're about. That is not what they do. They're self-centered, right? The Bible says in the last days that people would become heady, high-minded, traitors, right? It says in 2 Timothy 3 that they'll become lovers of their own selves, more so than the lovers of God, right? And that's what you're going to find when you go there. These churches are set up to provide worldly, current, trendy type comfort to their congregants. That's what they're set up for, right? They didn't get that from God, but I'll tell you what, they sure do charge for it. A lot of these mega churches, they'll charge you to park. You know, they're going to charge you for the coffee. They're going to charge you for the water. They're going to charge you for all sorts of stuff. Look down to verse number 9, Ephesians 4:9. It says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. You know, he's, you know, what comes to mind there is Acts 2:31, right? About the resurrection. He's seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul is not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. We got to remember that and keep that into perspective, that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. Right. You see, these people in these non-denominational churches, they are so sedated that they don't understand this doctrine. I mean, every week when we preach the gospel to somebody, we show them that in the Bible, they're just like, wow, I never knew that. You know, wow, I never knew that. Or in the off case, you run into somebody who's really like, you know, been non-denomed to the T, to the point of no return. And they're like, well, that doesn't really mean that. That's not true. You know, that's false doctrine. You know, that's a special case. Turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. So I said, point number two, non-denominationalists are sedated because they don't freely give. When you go to these churches, the idea is, how can we get more out of you? How can we get more out of our community? Right? They have these community outreach programs. The goal isn't to get people saved. It's to bring more money into the church. It's to turn more people into merchandise. That is the goal. Now, the typical attitude, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, but we're going to bring it up again. The typical attitude of the non-denominational person, when you're at the door, what is it? It's go away. It's go away. Get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you. You are an offense unto me. Your sect is spoken against. I don't want anything to do. Please leave my door. It's like, well, where's the unity? You claim to be a Bible-believing Christian. You claim that you're saved. I'm here in the unity of the spirit of bond and peace, and you're telling me to go away? That's a serious problem. That is the result of the sedative that they're fed every Sunday morning. And I can't say Sunday night, because in most cases, they don't have a Sunday night service. Yeah. You know, they get that sedative also throughout the week in their little small groups. So John 13, look at verse number 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So we are commanded to love one another. And the non-denom guy is going to say, see, you got to love everybody, just all human beings. You know, that's true. That's why we go out into the community. You know, we do. But there are certain people, and I don't want to get into it right now, that we don't love. And we all know who they are. Right. Okay. That's not what this verse is talking about. Oh, you know, I got to try really hard here not to go off on a rabbit trail. But the question is, why don't the non-denoms love us? Why is that? Why do they have that attitude when we go to their doors? Why do they have that attitude when we meet them at the stores, when we meet them at work? I won't even talk to the non-denominational people at my job. I refuse to. I mean, if I have to ask them a question or something like that, I will, but I will not talk to them. I don't want anything to do with that. And the reason being is because they have this attitude. Oh, hey, I looked you up. Hey, I saw this. That's kind of harsh. Hey, you know. And you know what? They're not interested in the deep things of God. They're sedated. You know, I always try to wake these people up. But after, like, the third admonition, that's when I'm like, I'm done with you. And then, you know, after the third time, I reject, you know, you're dead to me, basically. I'm not going to keep trying. I'm not going to keep wasting my breath to wake you up, because you can't be woken up, obviously. You're not woke. You're a joke, right? All right. So why don't they love us? It's because they don't believe in the unity of the Spirit. That's really what it is, right? That's their whole message that they're portraying to the community. We're non-denominational, right? It's us four and no more. That's basically what you're going to get when you go there. And go walk into one of these churches sometime, and you're just going to see click after click after click after click. That's what it is. Because there's so many people, and there's never any hard preaching against sin and whatnot. And so the people just, it's just a free-for-all. They just do whatever. You just do whatever they want. Look at verse 35. He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. So keep this in mind. When people see us talking with each other, when people see us meeting here, and they see us and they hear about us, you know, doing loving acts one toward to another, right? To those of us that are in here, those of us that are saved, they know in their hearts. They know in their hearts that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And it pisses them off because they don't have that, right? If you read the verse carefully, go back up to 34. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, so by that love, right? By that fellowship, by that service, right? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. That's how I know that they are not the disciples of Jesus Christ, because they don't love themselves. They don't love us, right? They reject us when we come to their doors, right? What does that tell you? They are not disciples, right? These verses here, they don't say, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples and will come hear the truth. It doesn't say that. It just says they're going to know, right? They might even tell you they don't know, or they might not admit it. But nonetheless, the fact is, what you need to understand is they do know. They do know. When they hear that we serve together, that we fight with each other, not with each other, I'm sorry, but when we fight as a team, right? The spiritual battle, going out, knocking doors, discipling people, when they see the videos, they see the effort that we make, they know, okay, these people are disciples, right? And most of them, they just turn that into envy. It makes them angry. Why? Because they're so sedated. It's like they're in a dream. You ever been in a dream where somebody's trying to beat you up? Or maybe they are beating you up and your arms just turn into noodles and you just can't swing? You know, or you're trying to shoot a pistol. Or is this just me? It's probably just me, huh? You know, you're trying to shoot a pistol or something. You shoot a weapon and the barrel just does the Gumby. It just basically folds over. It happens to me a lot. You know, I had a dream like that yesterday, I was dreaming that I was late to church, and church had moved to 4:30, and the clock just kept going fast. I'm like, that's not right. But all the clocks in my dream, they were just speeding up. I'm like, what is going on? And why am I talking about this? Let's move on, right? Let's move on. And you get the point, right? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. We know that these people in these non-denominational churches are not his disciples because they don't love one another. Right? It's all faux. It's all fake. It's all hogwash is what it is. So go back to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And while you're turning there, I'm just going to read for you two of the verses. Verses 11 and 12, we already read them. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I know non-denominational pastors that don't even want to be called pastor. They want to be called Bob, Billy, Charlie, Samantha, or whatever the case is. You know, don't call me pastor. You know, call me dog. Call me homie. Call me friend. You know, call me whatever. You know, but that's against the Bible, because Paul's telling the Ephesians, he's like, hey, look, God gave these certain types of people for the edifying, for the unity, for the perfection, right? Which means the completeness of the saints, right? It's okay to be a saint. It's okay that we strive for unity. It's not a bad thing. That is just what the world wants us to believe. And it's obviously, it's no wonder. We all know and understand the Antichrist will come to power someday, and the devil's working overtime to shift the mindset of Christianity today in America, to shift the mindset of people today in America to accept his doctrines, to accept his agenda and his goals. And, you know, I'll tell you what, if we're alive during those times, you're going to see people from the vineyard lined up outside of Walgreens to take the mark and worship the image. You know, you're going to see that, you know, and they're going to say, well, you know, give you their excuses. Oh, you know, we got to love. He's all loving and peace. He's about peace, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? He's about peace, you know, in that story. He promotes peace when actually it's witchcraft. It's craft. All right, let's move on here. Last one. Non-denominationalists are sedated because they are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Number 3, non-denominationalists are sedated because they are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Right? The non-denominational churches that were around in the year 2000 are vastly different from the non-denominational churches that you will find today. Right? Their pants have gotten tighter. There's more holes in them now, right? The music is the same that you're going to find at the rock station or the rap station or the country station. You see what I mean? Right? They're tossed to and fro. The popular thing today in mainstream Christianity is Calvinism, is that doctrine, right? And that's why all the popular speakers in evangelical Christianity, like Francis Chan, John Piper, John MacArthur, I'm sure I'm missing some, most of them If you dig up on them, they're Southern Baptists, or they are Reformed, or Calvinists, or what have you, right? Why is that? Because they're sedated with being tossed to and fro about every wind of doctrine. They have no root. They have no ground. And so you've got no weight, right? You've got no foundation. You're just going to blow around all over town. And that is how their congregants are as well. Look at verse 13. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Pastor Thompson preached about this on Friday. That was great. That was an excellent message. If you haven't heard it, please go back and listen to it. It was great. You know, talking about how we need to strive forward to not be children, to not let ourselves go back, because you know, you may not realize this, but as a Bible-believing Christian, you can go from mature Christian, you can kind of take some ages off, you know, some numbers off your spiritual age and wind up being a baby again or a child. And we don't want that, right? We don't want that. We want to grow up so that we don't get carried around and tossed around to and fro. Right. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So what he's talking about there is the importance of the whole package, the whole body, right? That's why it's okay for us to fellowship with other churches that are like-minded, right? That's why we had Pastor Thompson come here. That's why they invited me to go there. That's why we're having Pastor Menes come here. Look, we are all part of the body of Christ, and we have a unity of the Spirit, right? We just can't fellowship with them all the time because distance separates us, you know? But there's nothing wrong with having them, you know, help us out. Pastor Menes would help me out in a heartbeat with anything. You know what? And people look at it, oh, you're a denomination. No, we're a certain sect though, right? We're the same sect. We're the same kind of Christians, right? And that's okay. I would help them out as well. Look, when they had their protests, look, I told work, I'm not coming in. And we, you know, I got off work. I worked a 12-hour shift. I got off at 6 o'clock and we drove straight all night down to Verity Baptist Church, you know, so that we could be there to support them. You know, that's loyalty. That's how we should be, right? Why? Because we understood that this body is important. It's worth fighting for, right? It's worth taking care of the members and the different factions without. So number one, these non-denominationalists, you know, they really are. The reason why they're tossed to and fro is because they are trendy, right? They are trendy. They keep up with the latest trends. Proverbs 24:21 says this. It says, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. The Bible speaks against the non-denominationalists, if you really think about it. He says, meddle not with them that are given to change. Right? These people, and you can say I'm rude or whatever you want, that's fine. Their goal is change, is to keep up with the times, because in their minds, that's how they're going to reach the community, right? And they're kind of right. They do reach people. They just reach them with the wrong message. They just reach them with the wrong doctrines. They just reach them with the latest trends of the world and turn them into merchandise. But the Bible says that we shouldn't meddle with them. We shouldn't yoke up with them. We shouldn't be friends with them. We shouldn't hang out with them. Because why? Their hearts and their minds, they are sedated and they are given to change. The only thing that they'll change is maybe the brand of their sedative, and that's about it. Think about this. The non-denoms, they change their clothing to keep up with the times, right? They change their Bible versions depending on the latest financial incentive. Look, if Harper and Collins says, hey, megachurch Joel Osteen, I'm going to give you, you know, $3 million to go ahead and give all these Bibles out, he's going to do it. You better believe that boy's going to do it, right? That's what these people do. They'll just go with the highest bidder. They'll go with whoever's going to provide them with the best incentive, and that's the Bible version that they'll use. Why? Because they don't care. They're not about truth. Remember, they're non-denominational. They're against foundationalism. They are against fundamentalism. Non-denominationalists, they also, listen to this, they change their leadership at the drop of a hat. These people will ditch their congregations for a better position in a Bible college, in a better position on a Christian TV ministry, or what have you. You know, when the better deal comes along, they're gone. Why? Because they're tossed to and fro and blown around about every wind of doctrine because they have no root. They have no ground. That is how they are. Number four, The non-denoms changed their positions on social issues depending on the threat level of persecution. So when I was in the military, we'd always have this threat board outside and be like, today we're in threat level A or B or C or D, for example, right? You know, when I worked for the Navy, it was the same thing. Today's threat level is B because somebody on social media said they were going to blow us up. You know, then maybe we'll upgrade to C later on. And that means you have to take certain, you know, security measures and do things a certain way. Right? That's what the non-denoms do, right? They analyze the signs of the times and they say, okay, it's not popular to be against the queers, so we're going to go ahead and support them. Okay, it's not popular to be against abortion, so we're going to quit talking about it, right? They say, well, they've got a board inside their offices that says, okay, if you say anything negative about abortion, this is how much persecution you're going to get. Say anything about the queers, you're going to get, you know, blasted on the news. If you say anything about, you know, whatever the social issue is, you know, this, that, or the other thing, you know, the New World Order, you're going to be labeled a terrorist and a conspiracy theorist. So, you know, we better just not talk about any of that stuff. So that is how they operate. They operate kind of like the military, only they do it in a sedative, in a sadistic, just a bad way. It's just false doctrine. It's just a horrible thing. So what they do is they change their position on social issues depending on the threat of persecution. It's what they do. Show me a non-denom that's going to stand up for the truth. There may be one or two out there, but you know they're not going to be non-denom for too long. They're going to be, you know, their congregants are going to leave and they're going to be poor and they're going to have to just change their approach. Why is that? Because they've built their foundation on sinking sand. That's what they've done. They've used the false Bible versions. They've used the false doctrines, and that's what they've preached to their people. And then if they go ahead and turn around and say, oh, we're changing all this stuff, the people will just bounce. So number five, non-denoms change their music to keep hip to the world, right? And you can just study. I mean, just go look at John MacArthur's worship service, you know, from 98 versus to now, you know, 11 years later, it's different. The music and the stuff that they sing and that they subscribe to has changed greatly, right? The Southern Baptist Convention's real big on promoting this guy Lecrae. Why? Because he's real big on promoting what BET says and what MTV says, and he's a friend of the world, and he's a false preacher. He's an idiot. He's not saved. He's a minister of unrighteousness, as far as I'm concerned. You know what? But the vast majority of these non-denoms, they will change their music to keep up with the world. That's what these Christian musicians do, and that's why the non-denoms select them to be part of their ministry, because it sucks people in. It's just another avenue of approach. It's just another form of sedative to give to their people. So if you don't remember anything, remember this. Non-denominationals are sedated because they swallowed the pill of convenience over the pill of truth. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the truths that are in this book. Please bless the soul winning today and the fellowship to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.